What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den podcast, the home of the world's first and longest running podcast all about Amazon PPC and advertising to make your Amazon life a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. Today, we bring back Blair Forrest from AMZ Prep. Absolutely love creating content with Blair. My enjoyment of this episode is huge because I love ranking factors on Amazon. Imagine you have two advertisers, product A, product B, exactly the same. They couldn't be closer competitors with similar features, similar everything, similar keyword relevance for the exact same keyword, and they're bidding the exact same. One of those products will be higher in organic ranking and advertising ranking for a search. So there are lots and lots of ranking factors that go into influencing performance. So if you want to rank higher, we want to start thinking of factors, all the factors that influence ranking. One of them is inventory performance, for sure. So this episode's all about your inventory performance index, your IPI score. Blair's going to talk to us about how to think about excess inventory, sell through, how often you are in stock, and how often you have stranded inventory. It's awesome. Check it out. Every episode with Blair is a good one, and I'll see you in the pod.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bids set placements too. Now bad mistakes I've made a
Blair, welcome back to the PPC Den podcast. It's good to have you.
You couldn't get rid of me if you tried.
Yes.
I'm fired up.
It's always such a pleasure to talk with you. I want to share my screen really quick with you and anyone who's watching. What I think is crazy here is that in the world of Amazon marketing, Amazon growth, I would put these as maybe some of the most popular topics. Ranking higher.
Sure.
Maximizing your sales volume on your advertising, improving A costs.
Of course.
The, you know, competitive research, all this stuff. I would put inventory management, maybe not in the top five as for exciting topics. However, right. When you go back and you look at our posts, our previous content that we've done together, it crushes.
It smashes it. Everyone tells me, they're like, I saw you on the Ad Badger.
Yeah.
They're like, we've seen you there. They're like, we know you, we know Michael. Like, it's been incredible.
Wow.
I feel very famous. Michael, and I said it, man, our first episode, I think one of the first lines I said, eat your damn broccoli.
Yeah.
Worry about your logistics. And I threw a Hail Mary, and it seems like they're eating
it
up.
This is,
I couldn't be more fired up.
Wow. Expanding my Amazon PPC to Canada. And we talked about like the shipping logistics of that. Like we did so many nitty gritty topics that maybe aren't the most exciting, no offense, in the world of like growth, but like this is your area of expertise. And I think it's so useful, especially because a lot of marketers listen to the show, people interested in marketing, but like good inventory management is a growth factor that you can pull on Amazon. So
I do think like going into this year, next year, if you're a marketer who doesn't know inventory and logistics, like you are going to be at a gross disadvantage compared to everyone else. Like you're seeing it, like you probably see it from like an ad manager to all the agencies you guys work with. Like, I think it's very clear everyone's thinking about this from like an omni-channel strategy, and it all starts like logistics up. And, you know, a client, I think, will be very, it'll be very quick for them to know whether you know about the logistics or 3PL or inventory forecasting. Like, it's in your damn broccoli, man. I think it's going to be a huge asset. One of my big predictions is that, you know how there's like fractional CMOs mm-hmm. or fractional like ad managers and things like yeah. that? I think, and that's kind of always been popular, right? I think there's going to be these fractional ops managers now. Mm-hmm. So a brand may be doing, I don't know, like a million to 10 million who's like, like I don't need an ops manager or COO. That's a crazy amount of money. They'll want someone just like a fractional CMO or an ad guy or an agency. And there's no ops agencies. That's not really a thing, right? You have like an ad agency, then you have a warehouse. But like, I think operation agencies will become big. I think fractional ops, like fractional COOs for e-com brands will be big. These are like my biggest predictions going into next year. So take notes, anyone listening.
Every once in a while, I'll meet an e-com founder who is very like operationally focused. And I always feel like that gives them an unfair advantage. Like just like due to their background or their history, they worked somewhere else and they just brought a lot of that experience. I feel like it really does give them a leg up. And it's also connected to like per product analytics. I feel like the people that do that are also very good at like per product analytics, because they're watching like, how much are we buying of this product? How much are we selling of this product? What is our probability on that particular product? And they view it from a scale and a perspective that sometimes if you're only in the ad campaign, you lose out on. So I've always appreciated those conversations with those founders where they're like, I'm talking about their ad performance. And then they come in with like, this is how much we bought. This like, and they have like the full P&L already lined up. And they're like, just, you know, advertising to them is like a line item. And it's like, well, how do we make that better?
So we brought some people in. Obviously you might've heard the news about like Thrasio and so forth. Mm-hmm. But like we brought in some people from Thrasio, right? When they did their layoffs and so forth. And like their spreadsheet, I've seen spreadsheets, but like the operational excellence was just phenomenal. I'll see if Michael, I can get your hands on something. It's like, it is so dialed in. It's the same way that you guys look at, you know, advertising and media, and it's so granular versus like most people's inventory forecasting, it's like one tab on a Google sheet. Like it's real just like, you know, sold 2,000 a month, so let's order 3,000. Like it's real like real dum-dum style versus like this was like 9 pages, best case, worst cases, transit times, like freight versus shipping, cost rate analysis. Like it's incredible. And like it's the world's changing.
Yeah. So imagine you had someone come in and like do that for your brand and then that's it. So I think you definitely have something there. The thing that I wanted to touch on today is I think it's funny, not funny, maybe it is funny. Funny not in a ha-ha way, but more funny like, ain't it funny that this happens? So I think as Amazon growth marketers, as people trying to grow their advertising performance and rank higher on Amazon and all these things related to it, we love numbers. Like I love when ACoS goes down, I love when sales volume goes up, I love when total ACoS goes down, I love when all these things happen, conversion rate changes. So these are all metrics that I love to watch grow. But I think there's one area inside Amazon that is so in your face, good number, bad number, here's a scale, that I feel like it gets glossed over, but it's this inventory performance index, or IPI. It's related to inventory performance, and it's right smack in our face of like, hey, it goes from 0 to 1,000. You're either good or you're bad. So like, here's factors that influence. Like it's very rare that Amazon gives us a red, green scale and actually is telling us like, hey, you're either good or bad. So like, let's talk about this and like, what does it mean? I guess the first thing, like to me, IPI simply means inventory performance. I assume that it has something to do with how you're shipping and your inventory levels there. But how do you define IPI?
So, and what I like kicking this off with is imagine there's like a very clear, like how you saw on your screen, like there's a green, a yellow, a red.
Yeah.
Imagine they did that on advertising.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine like I think the clear amount of sanity that would happen in the ruckus,
yeah,
but even like I don't know, probably how much money people might lose off like either pulling back or doubling down. Yeah. Like it is a really good metric to be able to see to it.
Right.
And so let me give a little bit of backstory. Yeah, let's dive into the IPI because also when this comes out, it's going to be March. There's a ton of new FBA fees that are rolling out. So if no one's read that, Michael, we'll drop the link, the whole Notion playbook with all the new fees. 100% take a look at that because that is a whole different beast that you need to be reading up on. I know you guys like your damn advertising updates, but read the FBA fee changes because there's some big changes happening on inbounding, returns, prep work if Amazon is. You guys use AWL, like their logistics, and that's a whole different beast. So things you guys have to look at. But to recap, when IPI first came into it, it was kind of peak COVID. This is when they started rolling it out. And the reason for it was that they were trying to figure out, oh my God, we don't have warehouse space. There's a global pandemic and we're trying to optimize the amount of storage that happens through our warehouse. Their first phase was like, okay, you know what? Let's hike up storage. That's going to stop sellers from sending it in. They learned pretty quickly. Sellers don't care. They're like, we need to get the stock there. We don't want to. They're like, we're going to send you everything regardless. So then phase two is that was like, okay, well, why don't we just start dinging their account? Why don't we put something in place so they can, one, understand how they're doing, but then two, really bash them if they are underperforming in a certain amount of level. And this entire IPI is based around how well Amazon can optimize your inventory. Because I think a key thing that people get wrong, Amazon is a fulfillment company at its key and core. They are not a storage company. Very, very different things, right? Like AMZ, we're not a storage company. We're a fulfillment company. So we don't make much money when it's storing product. Neither does Amazon. We make money when a product gets moved from our warehouse, gets sent to Amazon, gets sent to a customer, wherever it might be. That's where the revenue is being generated because there's shipping, there's someone packing it. Like where the labor happened is where the money happens, kind of in hindsight. So everything they built here was specifically on how do we get product out of the warehouse accordingly. And a couple of key metrics. Michael, please chime in.
No, I love that history. I actually did not know that history. And I don't know if other people did too, that you know, it happened during COVID. And then you said they hiked up storage. So like they hiked up storage fees as a way to stop people from just dumping stuff. And when you say like hike up storage fees to try to shape people's behavior, you mean like they didn't want people sending a whole bunch of stuff and having it sit there. Massive excess.
A big issue was that like a lot of like sellers that send from, call it China, they'll just send like a full container, right? And like they don't know if it's going to move, or they're like, yeah, like whatever, but we'll just pay the storage fees. Mm-hmm. During COVID, like they were running out of space before they could buy up all the new properties because everything had to go e-commerce basically overnight. Mm-hmm. So that's when like they were also like pausing inbounds. Everyone was seeing delays. Some people couldn't even send in. Everyone was switching to FBM. You guys remember that too? Like it almost feels like a fever dream, like talking about it now.
Yeah.
But it was crazy.
And yeah.
Inventory performance really tightened people up because there's a few real key metrics to it.
Yeah, yeah. So we have this metric and, you know, we'll talk about like the benefit of this later, but like if you're a marketer, like for sure how well your inventory is managed influences your advertising performance. It influences your ranking, all of those good things. I was just on a mastermind call yesterday. Someone was saying, oh, for these really hyper-competitive keywords, even if I just have a product that's not that competitive yet, I still bid on it because I know like somebody will go out of stock and like I'll move placement. So like there's people who are like chomping at the bit to like use other people's inventory mistakes as a way to gain ground.
Yep.
And like, so yes, absolutely. So these factors I see here, you know, there's a score from 0 to 1,000.
Yes.
And like, it says top influencing factors, excess inventory, sell-through, stranded inventory, in-stock inventory. Can you walk us through like—
Yeah, let's go through it.
Yeah.
Let's go through it. Now, I think what's key, and I want to emphasize, is that think of, because, you know, someone could have 400, someone could have 700. Right now, over the past, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months, Amazon's been a lot more lenient on the impact of your IPI score. Going into Q4 again, that will change, I promise you. Like it always is a thing, and they don't want someone who's just going to send a bunch of nonsense there or is going to keep stock. But think of your IPI as your credit line, your credit score. Exact same thing. So there is a huge difference between 600 and a 700 credit score. That could, yes, both of them are okay, but one means you could get a home and the other means that you're getting a shed, right? Like, it's that clear of a difference between the two. So building a strategy to optimize that and improve it over time, just like how with your, you know, your credit card, you'll pay your bills on time and, you know, you'll get your new credit card. Like, very similar strategy needs to come into place.
Got it.
So four major factors that impact, call it 90%. Just like the Amazon algorithm, like A9 and A10, they'll never tell you the whole nine yards. But Amazon is pretty transparent of like the four major factors. And I wish they were like this on every other part of the platform. So number one is the excess inventory. So basically inventory that's hovering over, call it 90 days worth of stock. That's going to be a huge impacting factor of what they call excess. And again, there's a bunch of other measures inside of that, but it's simplest rule of thumb. If you have over 90 days worth of stock of any given SKU, you're going to get hit on an impact score. Right now, we're still optimizing for like 60 days, not only for just sell-through, but just it's just Amazon can get costly, right? Especially if your warehouse is cheaper for storage. So it's just keeping it clean and hygienic with Amazon is always a good thing, because in Q4, they might pull limits and you might get screwed. Number two is the sell-through rate. So the way that you can calculate your sell-through rate, so you'll see it isn't great right now on this account. So what it's looking at is it's looking at units sold versus the velocity of days. And it's this idea of what's the actual, and you'll see here, is in the bottom 40% of sellers right down there. So it's very low. All that it's measuring is how quickly are you selling through a product. So say you send 100 units into Amazon, and if you sell that within 10 days, that is going to equivalent to a very, very high sell-through rate, right? Because you're just like, you're sending in stock, it's directly moving out. A very low sell-through rate would be like something that Michael's showing on screen, which means that you probably said 90 days, you might be sending a couple units worth a day, but the overall sell-through production is very slow.
Got it.
When that happens, Amazon doesn't like it. For a very similar reason, they like product that moves because they sell the shipping, they sell the fulfillment. You have to think like, where does Amazon make money? They make money on their advertising, they make money on their fulfillment, they make money on their shipping. If you contribute to one of those three things, traditionally, it's usually a positive. So sell-through rate just means how do you optimize the stock that's coming into it? If you know that this SKU is going to sell one a day, maybe don't send in 500 because that's 500 days worth of product, which means your sell-through rate is going to be very, very low. It's very simple. Just run your past 30 days, divide it by how many units are sold, and then you can see a daily sell-through rate of what's going through the warehouse, basically. Optimize accordingly. 12 weeks would be absolute max for sending stock in.
Got it. So this number runs from like, I guess, zero to over three, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And we're at 0.8 for this account. So the recommendation here would be to, you know, we need to make optimizations to this product to get it to basically convert faster.
So yeah, so a couple ways. Either don't send as much stock in or run advertising to accelerate the speed of velocity, optimize conversion to accelerate speed. This is where, you know, your guys' marketing hats can come on. You either send in less stock because that's the reality of how quickly your product's going to move, or figure out ways to optimize the speed so your sell-through rate is one a day, create three a day, and that historic line is going to go, it's going to hockey stick up basically.
Yeah. I had a client one time who really viewed their inventory that's sitting there as like burning money. Like, hey, I already paid for this inventory. It's just sitting there. I'm losing money every day on it that I'm not selling it because like I'm paying for it and like it's missed opportunity. So that they were very keen and like, if there's inventory that's sitting there long, we need to move it fast. So that's sort of related to this. All right, stranded inventory percentage.
Yeah. So that's literally just the amount of your stock that's in a stranded phase. So call it inactive SKUs, return items, whatever that might be. That is the key point of it. So, you know, a listing might go inactive because you're a supplement brand and, you know, you had the word fat loss and now you're getting screwed for it. Now it's inactive. It's the amount of total percentage of your inventory that isn't available because either a listing broke down, it's inactive, whatever, you closed it or you tried to merge two listings, now it got flagged. Your total percentage, it traditionally needs to be very high. So you don't want less than call like 95%. Even 95% can be decent of stranded inventory. So that means 5% of your total stock is in the stranded phase.
Got it.
That's the idea. I would say the first two are the biggest priority ones because if you optimize those two, that will get rid of most of it.
Right.
the thing that's even inside of that stranded inventory is things like returns. Mm-hmm. Like people usually do like a quarterly return submission. Some people kind of just leave it to whenever. We now try to optimize it every like 6 to 8 weeks max. So that either means pull the stock, tell Amazon to dispose of it, like do something there for all inactive, all returns, anything stranded stock. Because imagine like your credit score. Sometimes like you'll look at your credit score and it gets hit. And it's like a tiny little like $20 bill that accidentally got sent to collections because of one parking tick. Like I'm talking from direct experience.
Oh yeah.
Amazon can do the same thing. You might just have literally have like one SKU or one item that's in stranded or one product that's in return. You just totally didn't think about it. It's still impacting your account. So it's just like go through a clean audit. I think at some point, Michael, on a separate episode, we should talk about the P&L because if you want to actually see how much cash you're burning, it's very hard to see on a straight P&L, but there's ways that we can look into the seller dashboard of like how much you're actually getting dinged for storage that you can bake it into a daily cost of being like, every day I leave this, I'm losing $84, hypothetically speaking. Whole different thing.
Good info. And of course, FBA in stock, great, fairly straightforward. How often you're in stock or not.
Yeah, exactly. Like that goes down to kind of this, the basic necessities of what you're doing on Amazon, mm-hmm. right? Like don't run out of bloody stock because that will, and there's a very thin line, right? Of, okay, you don't want too much, you don't want to send too much product in because that's going to impact the right side. But you don't want to run out of stock. So you don't want 2 weeks because then if you're trying to rush and you lose stockage, that's going to plummet not only IPI, but then also your organic, your advertising. That you guys know that language well. There's a very nice marriage that has to be done there. So it's just about optimizing more than anything. That's the key.
So I guess let's wrap here and sort of talk about like, if I'm a growth-focused marketer and I'm trying to help my personal brand or I'm trying to help a client grow here. And maybe historically all I've done was look at, you know, organic ranking, organic sales, total ACoS, advertising performance. Most people, you know, I'll talk to marketers and they say like, oh, they'll ask clients, can I get access to your inventory area so I can see what your inventory looks like? Cause I don't want to run ads and then go out of stock because that would like really hurt our ads. So like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. And so I think really good marketers at the very least pay attention to how often you're in stock because you don't want to be running ad campaigns to products that are about to go out of stock and lose all your momentum. So I guess like the question I have for you is what have you noticed for companies that have good scores versus bad scores? Like what's the benefit of getting this number high? What do you notice?
It allows you a lot more flexibility when we want to inbound to Amazon. And right now, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, well, like last year, it was very strict where like we had a bunch of brands that had to toggle FBM. And a lot of you guys know like FBM from an advertiser conversion in an organic is like horrible for the overall indexing. But if your inventory performance is so low that you got capped at a certain amount of items, like you are royally screwed. So I think there's a key thing there where as a marketer, whether you're talking to their brand or your founder, whoever it might be, it's just thinking about one, if you go into this as a brand manager or a marketing manager for a brand, one, you can save them a ton of money, right? Like you can actually see how much dollars in FBA storage excess. You can reduce all the excess inventory. Plus you can get rid of returns, all things that they're getting charged storage on. But then on top of that, you're talking about sell through. Like people really like that because, you know, they get the same ACoS and ROAS and CTR. This is like a whole different layer of like, hey guys, like I want to optimize your inventory. Your guys' sell-through rate's very low. Why don't we start running ads on these lower performing SKUs? Why don't we optimize the listing because the sell-through rate's so bad? Like there's now a whole story of the way you're building out recommendations. I think the other key thing that we see what world-class brands that have high IPI score do, traditionally they're utilizing some sort of like injection hub. So they're not sending all the stock directly to Amazon. They might use a 3PL or PrepSet or whatever it is that's close to the major hub that they're sending into. And now they're drip feeding, right? And they're doing very frequent. So the brands that do best usually aren't doing like every 3 months they're sending stock from their warehouse. They might be doing monthly. Yeah. And they're reviewing that with their warehouse. They're making sure that they might go small parcel because it's faster into Amazon versus an LTL shipment. Like there's a lot more just thought process around that sell-through number.
Yeah.
And if you can master that calculation of what a sell-through calculation is and how to optimize that IPI, when Amazon starts hitting with inventory limits and says, hey, you can only send 500, but you're selling 1,000 a month, if you don't have a proper warehouse in place, you're going to be screwed. Or on the other side, if your IPI is not up enough, there's nothing you can do. Like you're going to have to either toggle on FBM, and no warehouse during Q4 is ever going to allow that because it's a nightmare to set up. And if they do, there's a chance that, you know, they might lose stock or they might miss it up. That could be a huge issue. And also, like, you don't want to turn on FBM. Like, it's just not good. So again, and with Amazon's new fee changes, this whole storage is going to become a lot more of a nuisance. So sellers just need to be more careful about it. Obviously, we talk about it, but a lot of, like, global logistics and so forth. Like, it's one more thing, a little drop in the bucket. But the best brand managers, the best marketers, the best agencies are thinking about the operational excellence. You have to.
Yeah. Because on Amazon, everything is tied together. So, like, Amazon wants to serve products and ads that are running really, really efficiently. So without a doubt, IPI score and the factors that influence IPI score are a ranking factor in the Amazon SEO algorithm. Surely they're a factor in quality score as well for ads. So, like, you have two advertisers, very similar product, same keyword relevance for that product. You know, they couldn't be any closer of a competitor for the same product. If you have two of them, they're bidding the same thing, same keyword, guaranteed the company, all things being equal, the one with better inventory management is going to be above that other competitor, all things being equal. So this is absolutely a ranking factor.
I just think as brands are thinking, whether you guys talk about it on the marketing side, every brand is thinking about omnichannel.
Yeah.
Whether that's expanding globally, whether that's expanding to Walmart, that's expanding to their own e-com store, like, people want to get more squeeze for the current products that they're selling without dumping a new advertising campaign or running more strategic, like DSP and so forth. Like, there's a lot more of, like, okay, well, we have the product. How do we just squeeze the hell out of that to get more, you know, fruits of our labor, basically? And a lot of that falls into, like, your overall inventory management. So I think it's not the days are over of a pure FBA strategy, but I do think the sellers who are just launching products and running with it without really thinking about inventory, logistics, optimizing other marketplaces and how to get product on those channels and then ship and fulfill those, like, there's good versus great. And yeah, I think that delta is going to become a lot more clear once brands go global, once brands expand to Walmart, get their Shopify set up Wayfair, eBay, Lazada, like, wherever else that they can sell product to get more product through and more sell through, which is the name of the game. Like, I think that delta is going to become very clear, very fast. I'm bullish.
Right on. So my pitch for all people trying to grow on Amazon is don't forget that inventory management, and Amazon sort of packages it up for you nicely with the IPI score, is a ranking factor, without a doubt.
Learn it, study it.
Yeah.
Take it for dinner if you need to, but eat your damn broccoli, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it more than enough.
Blair, we're going to link to the new March 1st, 2023 FBA fees.
Yep.
That'll be in the description somewhere. But thank you so much for coming back on the show.
I love this stuff, man. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Right on, Blair. Thank you so much. And everyone else, I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den podcast.